Welcome to the Point is to Serve podcast. We want to encourage you towards a vibrant and active faith in Jesus Christ. For more information about our ministry, visit our website at thepointistoserve.org. And now, here's this week's teaching.
I know this is going to break some people's hearts, but this is our last day of summer school. I know, it's sad, isn't it? Some of you really are, you love school and you're heartbroken, but some of you guys are like, school's out for fall and winter and spring and summer, or unless you're an actual student, then you have to keep going to school. So, whatever. All right, we're getting to the end of the sermon series. I thought that our last word for today could be Christian. Well, that's kind of a lame word, right? Like, we all know what Christian means. It's pretty clear what we're talking about, but is it, you know? Because our understanding of Christian and the content of Christianity is so important, because we can think that we're on the right path, that we're on the way that leads to life, but we find out that we're actually on the road that leads to destruction for not only just someday, but now, in the present. So we're going to be looking at this word Christian a little bit more as we go along. But first, I want to bring up something that's a little bit heavy. I'm not sure if any of you remember back in 1994, the Rwandan genocide, when that happened. I don't really remember it. I was about probably a fourth grader at the time when that happened. But a little background. Rwanda is a country in Africa. And a lot of Western missionaries had been to Rwanda and had invested in the people in that place, shared the gospel with them, and it really took there. By around 1994, when things kind of started to get heavy, they would say that about 90% of the population of Rwanda identified as Christian, okay? So they went to church. They believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that he died for their sins, and that he's going to rise back to life, all of these things about the Christian faith. And so, like, it was known for being the most Christian nation in the entire continent of Africa. Another thing about Rwanda is that it was made up of a few different tribes, but two major ones, okay? The Hutus and the Tutsis. And because of some of their history, there is some tension. You know, they're ethnically diverse. They're different from each other. And so this tribe and this tribe, like, they look different, and they just see the world a bit differently, and yet they still live in this same country. Well, in 1994, there was a plane crash, and the president of Rwanda was in that plane crash, and foul play was assumed. And so at that point, that just, like, set off the powder keg. The people in power, the government, decided to have a genocide that, you know, over the radio, over television, they're saying, just go out and slaughter the people from the other tribe. And so within, like, 100-some-day period, there are 800,000 men and women and children who had been hacked up with machetes. I mean, just absolutely brutal, absolutely terrifying. And we might look at that and think, like, how could this happen? I mean, these people are a Christian nation. Like, it should have been the exact opposite of what ended up happening. But here's the thing. I think for them, their Christianity was more of a subcategory for their identity. Because when push came to shove and things got really heavy, it was more about, you know, I'm sorry, Jesus, but ultimately, I'm a Hutu. Ultimately, I'm a Tutsi. And I am going to set you aside for now, because right now the really important stuff has to happen. And we can look at that and think, well, that was crazy. How did that happen? But a good question for us is, do we who call ourselves Christian, are we prone to that temptation too? When, yeah, we go to church, we believe all the right stuff, we do all the orthodox things that would call us Christian, but when push comes to shove, it's like, all right, Jesus, hold my drink. I'm going in there, you know? Like, fists are going to start flying, because guess what? It doesn't work that way, Jesus. Like, we need to take matters into our own hands. We are prone to do that today as well. And so that's why I think it's important that we talk about Christian. What are we referring to here? So that's a little heavy. Let me lighten the mood just a little bit. Back when I was in middle school, one of the coolest things that you could possibly do is have a pair of Oakley sunglasses. All right, do we have a picture up here? I think so. Maybe not. There we go. See, Even Michael Jordan wore Oakleys. And, you know, like, it's so funny to look at him now because it, like, kind of made you look like an alien, that shape. But, like, back in the day, it was so cool. But the problem with Oakleys is they were also very, very expensive. And they're very expensive still to this day, right? So most of us as middle schoolers, we couldn't afford this stuff. But fortunately, there was a solution to the problem. And there was fake Oakleys, okay? And we respectively called them Folkleys, all right? Fake Oakleys. They looked exactly like the real thing. And, like, the colors were the same. Even the lettering, it even said Oakley on them. And so we were kind of like, even though we knew it wasn't the real thing, it was close enough. You still looked cool. You still looked like you had a pair of Oakleys. But you know what? When you put the pressure on them, they started to show their falseness, their fakeness, right? Like the lettering would kind of start to scratch off. They'd break really easily. They just didn't stand up to the kind of abuse that sunglasses go through. And you know, if Folkleys are fake Oakleys, then maybe we could say that Christian is a fake Christian, right? Or Christianity is kind of a false Christianity. It's got everything right on the surface level. Everything looks just right like it's supposed to be. It's good enough, right? But when they're put to the test, the false self begins to reveal itself. So how do we discern what's authentically Christian and what's Christianity? Okay, because just like a lot of the Folkleys out there, I think a lot of what passes for Christianity today falls short of the kind of integrity and the kind of substance that our scriptures insist must be there. So we're going to look at some passages of scripture that say, you want to know what the real deal is? You want to put it to the test and see if it stands up to mustard? Is that the right way of saying it? That just popped into my head. You know what I mean? Then look at what this says, okay? And it's all over our scriptures, even in the Old Testament, okay? Isaiah 1, 10 through 17. God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and he's telling him to, like, go and talk to Israel because Israel's been disobedient, and he refers to them as, like, you guys are like Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that's why when you see Sodom and Gomorrah with quotes, that's why. But he's speaking to his people, the Israelites, the good guys. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgust me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. This is strong language here. They are a burden to me. I can't stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. And here we go. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, he could be speaking to us today. Like, I see you're singing the newest, coolest worship songs that are out on the radio these days. And you've got the best coffee in the world. And you've got the best childcare. You've got all the great things going on. But you know what? Where's the love? Like, is that central to who you are? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. This is Paul. If I could speak all the languages of earth and the angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. In Galatians, he says this, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. 1 John 4:20 through 21. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. James: but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Or how about Jesus' words? When he was asked, "Teacher, what's the most important command of the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Equally important. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments: love God, love others. And then we got Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches things like radical love of the enemy, of forgiveness being central to our character as his followers, that we would be peacemakers here in this earth, and all the radical stuff that Jesus calls us to. And then at the end of all of it, he emphasizes what he's teaching by saying this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I mean, I'm quoting all these at length because I just want to make it very clear. I'm not just making this stuff up because it sounds nice, right? I mean, this is at the heart of our scriptures. And we could go on. Like, there's more that we could look at, okay? But I think that gives us a pretty good understanding that it's pretty clear that if you're going to be encountering authentic Christianity, like the true kind of Christianity that we've come to expect, we're going to see that it involves, and at the heart of it, at the core of it, is obedience to Jesus' instructions, his teachings, and to love the way that Jesus loved, which included people that are our enemies. This is the real deal, okay? These are like the real Oakleys, okay? And the real Oakleys, they were like heavier. They were more substantial, right? They were more durable. Like, you could throw them around and nothing scratched off of them. You couldn't scratch the lenses, right? But another thing about them, they were costly. They were expensive. But they lasted a long time. And the thing with Jesus' way of Christ-like love, it doesn't just last a long time. This is eternal. This is the kind of stuff that goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And you know, sometimes I think in our Christianity, we've got love printed on it, just like the Folkleys say Oakley on them, right? But you rub that a little bit, that's going to come off, right? Because I think a lot of times, like, we're like, I do love people. Like, I've got family, I've got friends, I've got the people in my group that I agree with. Like, I love them so much, I would take a bullet for them, you know? But when push comes to shove, when somebody rubs me the wrong way or doesn't see with me eye to eye, or their convictions or their views are different than mine, I tend to dismiss them. I discredit them. I demonize them. And I do it all in the sense of, like, this is a good thing that I'm doing because I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to be doing this to other people. But ironically, that's the kind of shallow love of this world. It's not rugged. It's not durable. It's not costly. It's not the kind of steadfast love of Jesus. It's not true Christianity. And this is hard, right? I think about this all the time because sometimes, like, inviting people into this kind of love is like, hey, guess what? We're going to go on a marathon. Aren't you excited? And, like, we're going to start by running 3-4 miles or we're going to do it tomorrow. Like, you know, like, sometimes I feel like we leave and we talk about this stuff and it's kind of, I hope that you don't leave feeling like, oh, man, that's pretty heavy stuff to love like that, because here's the truth. It is hard. It's not a love that comes naturally to us, but that wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Jesus knew that it was going to be hard. Like, the road that we were going to be following him on is a hard road. It's like a triple black diamond road, all right, with that kind of love. And it's also a road that it's unpopular. Not many people take it. And when you get there, the gate is narrow. It's hard to squeeze through, but it's the road that leads to life. And Jesus also said that, you know, if you love me, if you follow me, people are going to hate you because of me. Like, it's going to, in some ways, make your life a bit harder, okay? And that might be your enemies, okay? But you know what hurts even more, the sting of it? Is it's probably the people that like you. It's probably the people that are on your side, because now they're kind of starting to say, what, are you one of them? Like, you getting soft on us? Like, you starting to, like, whose side are you on? You know, they start to think that thing, because that's what happens when you love your enemies, right? And guess what? That happened in Rwanda with the Hutus and the Tutsis, because thank God there were Christians there that were the real deal. They weren't Christian. They were Christian to the core. And if you were a Hutu and you saw a Tutsi that was injured and wounded, or maybe they needed to be fed or clothed, you said, you know what? My identity is in Christ. And that's my neighbor that I'm called to love and to serve, even if it gets me shot at. And they did. People were martyred for loving the other people on the other side. It'll get you in trouble. It is hard, okay? But, and here's the fun thing about Christianity. It's never quite so simple, right? There's always another side to it. Jesus said that it's easy. Okay? After all of that, listen to what he says. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus is teaching his yoke, his commands, his instructions, his influence, the way of life that he's invited us to do with him. He says it's easy, and the burden of it is light. In some sense, it's kind of like he's asking you, have you been beaten down by this world? Have you experienced that? Or like that song that we sing, are you weary and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Do you feel like you don't amount to anything? Have you been cast aside by others? In essence, have you never experienced the freedom and the life and the joy that comes from receiving the radical love of God through Jesus Christ and being able to live it out and share it with the rest of the world? If not, come follow me, because you're in for a ride. It's not going to be an easy ride, but man, you're going to find life that you never thought you had known before. That's what he invites us into. Imagine what it would feel like to stop feeling like you need to earn other people's acceptance. Because that's what this whole world is. That's what even other religions of the world, it's earning, earning, earning. There's stuff that you need to do in order for the group to accept you. But that's the beauty about the grace of Jesus Christ, is that everything that we long for, our community, our belonging, our acceptance, our being forgiven, our being loved and seen and valued and cherished, it's already free for the taking. We just have to take it. It's a gift. And there is obedience that's involved. That's all part of it, you know, but it comes out of a place of gratitude for what's happened to us. And when we position our lives in such a way, we become more aware of that grace. We grow into it. Where else do you get that in the world? It's a gift. It's life. Or how would it feel if you didn't have to feel like you were in competition with everybody else around you? The way that this world teaches us to be, or that you are at war with everybody else around you, because now you're learning to see people more the way that Jesus has seen you, the way that Jesus sees them too. Oh, like I'm free to love this person. I'm free to care about them. How would your life be different if that started to be part of who you are? Like, how would that kind of radical love maybe make our lives more complicated? But in another sense, how would it be the most liberating thing that we could possibly dream of? So why does having a clear understanding of Christian matter so much? Like, what? Why? Like, can't we just, like, deal with the Christianity? Isn't that close enough? Well, here's a few thoughts. The first one is that it was so central to the authors of the Bible, and more importantly, Jesus himself. That is, like, Christ-like love was so central to them. We don't get to define Christian on our own terms. The triune God who is love gets to define what it truly looks like to be his faithful followers. And are we going to accept the kind of characteristics that he's given us, that it's this kind of radical love? Or are we going to be content to put up with the Christianity that we've made up, you know? Like that, and all it really is just like a false projection of our own self-serving agendas. We just slap a Jesus bumper sticker on it, you know? Let's get to the real thing. It's also important for us to know Christian because I think the central radical teachings of Jesus have been forgotten in what passes for Christianity today. I hate to say that, but I just think it's true. You know, like how often, like, is the Sermon on the Mount just our knee-jerk reaction when something bad happens? Like, okay, like, instead of just seeking revenge or lashing out at you, like, I've been conditioned in such a way all my life that, like, okay, what does it look like to be Christ in this situation? How do I love this person? I don't think that comes naturally to us. And so I think in some ways, and it might be kind of annoying, we talk about it over and over and over and over and over here, right? But I think we almost have to, because how do you build muscle? Through repetition. How do you get better at making free throws? By doing it over and over and over so that it's just muscle memory. And so sometimes I think when something's been forgotten, when it's been neglected and our love muscles have atrophied from lack of use, from lack of discussing these sorts of things, that we need to get back to the gym. Like we need to be able to just immerse ourselves in this and know Jesus. And know his teaching, know what God wants for us if we're going to call ourselves Christian. Let's do the real thing. I also think it's important because our world is hurting greatly, and it seems like Christ-like love is God's solution to the pain and to the suffering of our world. Because, you know, like when we get in the Hutu and Tutsi mentality, it's just like, oh, Jesus, hold my drink. Like, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to show it. Like, I know you think that that works, but that you kind of got your head in the clouds. You can't just do that, okay? And then they go off and they do their thing. They do their violence and they come back to Jesus and say, okay, so, like, what were you saying again? Like what were you teaching us? You know, you can kind of see the ridiculousness of it when we put it that way, but that's what we do. And there's a world all out there that is very good at doing that. And if we're not careful, they will disciple us in hatred and cynicism and fear and violence. It only ends up contributing to the problems in the world, and sometimes we do it in the name of God. And we end up surrendering the beautiful gift of grace that God has offered us. It's a life of learning to become part of a kingdom under the lordship of our King Jesus that conquers the world through self-giving love. And anything less than this just creates needless divisions today in the rest of the world. And that's the kind of stuff that's ultimately going to be judged and excluded from eternity. So there's a bit of a warning here, all right? That's a little bit like, whoa. Like, that's kind of serious stuff, but it's like, it's because it's life. And he doesn't want us to miss it. It's life for you, and it's life for the rest of the world. And that's the last point. The way of Jesus is true life and true joy and true freedom. And true peace, and nothing in this world can ever compare to what Jesus has to offer us through a life of love that goes to a cross for people who don't deserve it, and on the other side of that is resurrection for us and for the rest of this world and for the rest of creation too. That's God's plan, and he doesn't want us to miss it. So I want us to see this clearly. I want us to see what it truly means to be Christian and to expose the Christianity that we see all around us and learn to just lean into the real deal, okay? Because it's rugged, it's real, it's quality, and it's costly, but it's the kind of stuff that lasts and lasts and lasts. It's what God wants, it's what the world needs, it's the way that he does his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen, let's pray. God, you are the truth. Everything about you is beautiful and good and pure and loving and kind and generous, steadfast, committed. There is nothing like your love, Father. And so I pray, Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to reflect your love because we don't know it. We have these images of you that don't look like Jesus. And it leads us into all sorts of problems. And that has implications even for how we live and how we treat other people in this world, how we view ourselves, how we view you. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you break through the lies in this place? Would you break through the lies in this world that paint some picture of you or some portrait of you that looks like something other than Jesus? That looks like something other than the beauty of your face, the God who is love, who conquers the world through love. And would you help us to be brave, Lord? Would you help us to trust you, to not take matters into our own hands and think that we know better for how to rule this world and run it, but to trust you even when it doesn't make sense to us. And I pray that you would use our faithfulness, our obedience to you, to breathe life into this hurting world, breathe life into these dry bones of us as individuals, as us as churches, as us as friend groups of nations, and all people of this world, Lord. Would your name be known and would it be worshiped, because you are beautiful and you are worthy of all of our praise, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would like prayer during our final song or afterwards too, along the north wall up here, we'd have people that would love to be able to pray for you. Otherwise, just allow the words for this final song to be our prayer.
Thanks for tuning in to the Point is to Serve podcast series. For more information about pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ, or information about the Point is to Serve ministry, visit our website at thepointistoserve.org. Thank you, and God bless.